From the Chemical Coast to the Panhandle Wind Farms and the sawmills of the East to the international bridges of the West, if it matters to Texas, it's on Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your Texas anchorman, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a corporate management muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day, if you are facing illness, you know, that can be life-threatening, of course. Do you want a physician, a doctor who spent all the time possible in medical school training to keep you from death, to cure your illness? Or do you want a doctor trained in leftist dogma? Well, if you answer the common sense way, even in Texas, you may be out of luck. I'll tell you about that. Our Lone Star story of the day is sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. Are you hiring? Well, check for safety with drug testing. Get with Allied Compliance Services, AlliedCompliance.com. We've got tons of Texas political news to breeze through. And Biden's border disaster again fills the news. Even the president of Guatemala says that Biden is at fault while old Kamala Harris is down there visiting. You notice she wore a mask in Mexico today and the Mexican president didn't have one on. It's kind of funny. Also, we've got what aren't funny, stench of local government stories out of Abilene and Amarillo, and not a stench of local government story, but a question really out of Lubbock. So about a city and county issue. We'll get to all of that as time allows here on the program. Remember, you can listen anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your commute or your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show at PrattonTexas.com. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. I'd like to start with today in Texas history. And in 1969, Houston Intercontinental Airport began operations. Also in 2008, this is the day the governor's mansion was firebombed. Remember the Molotov cocktail? Fortunately, the priceless art and antiques were out for a renovation. Somebody came through and threw that on there and caught it on fire. When Governor Perry and Anita were there, they had to live in a private home for a good while. It was already undergoing a $10 million renovation project. That person's never been caught, ladies and gentlemen. Terrible. Also, this is a day in June 8, 1835, when Agustin Viesca, the governor of the Mexican state of Coahuila y Texas, this is a year before our revolution, was arrested trying to cross into Texas, which is funny, it's part of his state. The point here is for all these revisionists like National Geographic that have a big piece out on the Alamo telling us that our myths are all wrong and crazy, this guy was trying to move the capital of the state to Bear, to San Antonio, and he was trying to get support for the anti-Republicans. This wasn't just a bunch of white guys over in Texas. Go learn a little bit about that. It was June 8th, 1835. Our Texas history moment here, sponsored by our friends at USA Investigations. Surveillance, witness interviews and statements, and much more. See usainvestigations.net. Remember the .net on USA Investigations. What a good doctor or somebody that's just good at leftist dogma. Well, you may not have a choice anymore. This is a story, you know, a praising story. Just like this is wonderful out of the Austin American Statesman. The reporters never bothered to ask the question about, wait a minute, medical school's already so jam-packed. The amount of medical information has grown so much that we've had to slice everybody into smaller and smaller specialties. It takes so much training to be able to keep up with things. Do you think this is really a good use of time in medical school, all that compressed time? Oh, no, they don't even bother to ask because they're part of this leftist dogmatic religion. Here's the headline. Dell Medical School adds health equity as one of its primary focuses for students' curriculum. Oh, not some seminar you take on a weekend. One of the primary focuses of going to medical school at the University of Texas, at the Dell Medical School. I kid you not. They've introduced the Health Equity Core Competency. Students will learn about the historic context of discrimination, how to recognize structural and social determinations of health. Folks, this is all Marxism. And structures of oppression within medicine. I kid you not. They will also learn how to identify their own biases and privileges, how to build relationships with a diverse group of people. and how to work with community-based partnerships. They will be taught how to advocate for inclusion and intervene when they see barriers, discrimination, biases, and microaggressions. Ladies and gentlemen, your tax dollars at your medical schools are being used, as they were in Europe, to turn the medical profession into a big bunch of soldiers marching for Marxism. That's it, period. Dr. Beth Nelson, Associate Dean of Undergraduate Medical Education, said the school began looking at how to teach health equity when it opened back in 2016. And they had a milestone in 2018, she said, when they hired an Associate Dean of Health Equity. I kid you not. She said, oh, this stuff content was already in some existing courses. But that's not... That's something y'all to be apologizing for. But no, she's bragging on that. But that wasn't enough. We have to make it a core competency issue for med students to take all this Marxist training. The story says, what working with an advisory group that included students, the school decided to make it a core competency, quote, as an important metric to be able to embrace what it means to be a physician that graduates from where we are, Nelson said. Questionable grammar there. So in other words, your doctor's performance isn't going to be, medical students aren't going to be based solely or in any way, I guess, completely on their medical prowess. It's going to be on how well they adopt and adhere to Marxist dogma. And you're paying for it. This is a state university, University of Texas, Dell Medical School. Quote, the students coming to Dell are really hungry for this kind of knowledge and, indoctrination, and hungry for an environment that embraces it, Nelson said. They are very aware of these kinds of problems and have a commitment to see social changes. Really? I thought they were coming to become doctors, and most of them wanting a big income when they got out. Health equity is part of a shift currently happening in medicine from just looking at the patient, you know, and their illness and trying to heal them. Oh, no. But considering how that patient fits into a broader population, what the hell does that have to do with you getting healed or not? Part of this work means Dell Medical School's looking at its own diversity, of course. Yeah, that's right. The faculty's 54.5% male and 64.5% white. We can't have that. Asians make up 19%, African Americans 4.8%, and Hispanics 9.4% of the faculty. So what do these people do instead of, you know, why don't they just go off and whip themselves, you know, in self-flagellation and punish themselves? Why the heck do they have to ruin the future doctors? Faculty who are considered underrepresented in medicine, those who self-report as Black, Hispanic, American, Indian, or Hawaiian Pacific Islander make up only 14.2%. Nobody at Dell feels like we are where we need to be, Nelson said. We're really trying to work on strategies to improve that. By the way, the incoming class is 58% female. Don't kid yourself. They know what's going on. They're accepting the patients who are most likely statistically to absorb this indoctrination and live by it. You go to France, you go around the world in Europe, and this Doctors Without Borders, which is an extreme left-wing group, you look at these government health services where the government controls all this. They turn the doctors, the medical profession, into a bunch of political advocates, a bunch of political people years and years ago. They're doing it here. They're doing it at the University of Texas with your tax dollars at the new Dell Medical School. Headline, Dell Medical School adds health equity as one of its primary focuses for students' criticisms. Folks, they're not talking about making sure that you get as good of an antibiotic as the guy down the street. They explained it. This is all about this bull crap anti-racism stuff that is in and of itself inherently racist. This is nothing but this communist Marxist critical race theory stuff being officially taught and made part of the core competency of the medical school. It's probably happening in your own town and whatever medical school's nearest you. So when you die, don't worry, they'll be up on socialist dogma.
It's time for Pratt to breathe. Pratt on Texas returns in a moment.
It's hard to explain why my greatest customer service experience wasn't at a luxury resort or private club, but was going to the dentist in Costa Rica, Dr. Silvia Zuniga of Dental Care. There are big Costa Rica practices which, while saving you big money, work just like they do here, herding patients through as fast as possible to increase billings. That's not how Dr. Silvia Zuniga works. Silvia's practice is purposely small and personal with the highest level of service and quality I've experienced for anything. My entire trip cost us less than half my lowest quote at home, including hotel for a week, restaurants, airfare for both of us, and local transport, and much more dental work than those local quotes covered. I had it all done. No wonder my Lubbock neighbor had been using her for his dental work for years, and now you can visit Texas Tech's new Costa Rica campus nearby. If you want top dental work at affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
If you want shallow chit-chat, dead air, and amateur analysis, you're in the wrong place. This is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, and here's your prepared host, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Why do we have a higher education coordinating board? Why do we have any kind of accrediting bodies if this stuff is allowed? It's just insane. It's absolutely insane that instead of spending the time focusing on medicine, a core element for doctors in training has to be political propaganda and dogma being pushed down their throats, being put into their heads by the left. This is insanity. And it should cause the people to stand up and revolt. But no, that doesn't happen. No. Let's go to our stench of local government. By the way, our Lone Star story of the day there out of Dell Medical Center, sponsored by Allied Compliance, Allied Compliance Services, AlliedCompliance.com. If you're hiring, check for safety with drug testing. Stench of local government stories. I just about fell out of the chair when I saw this story yesterday. City of, at KRBC, City of Abilene discussing how to budget more tax dollars to fix streets. Well, that didn't bother me. I thought, that's right. Stop spending money on things that aren't core things to running government and shift it over to fixing streets. Oh, but that's not what the story says. They're talking about, it says repair of streets. It doesn't say building a new one. And it says the project would take 2 years and citizens could potentially see a 1 cent increase in their tax bill, but city manager Hannah says they're trying to absorb as much cost as possible so the tax rate could be even less. First of all, when people hear 1 cent, this is an old trick in how most people literally think, oh, I'll get 1 cent. No, it's a cent is 1%. It would, in other words, they would raise your property taxes over and above by a full 1% at least just for that. But ladies and gentlemen, those of you who aren't familiar with it, the citizens in Abilene were told that even though their city is not a low-spending city and not a low-taxing city for its size in Texas, it's not anywhere near, you know, being able to rah-rah, congratulate itself for that. They have the same revenues everybody else has, and yet they've admitted for decades they haven't maintained streets. So what did they do? They put a proposal before the people of Abilene. The people of Abilene, just in the last few years, voted themselves a specific tax that the rest of you don't have. They call it a fee. Okay, it's a fee, but it's a tax. And everybody there, all the property owners, are paying an extra tax for one purpose, street maintenance. So you adopted this whole new funding source, and now they come and tell you, well, we can't repair the streets with that, so we're looking about issuing about $23.5 million in debt to do this, and we'll just pass that along to you in a property tax increase. How utterly foolish you people were to fall for this fee thing, thinking that this was going to somehow relieve budget pressures on it, because they won't stop spending in other areas. Wherever, you know, it's shocking to me. It's shocking they don't, in this story, the media outlet, nor the city manager even addressed that the people adopted a fee for street maintenance. Wouldn't that be question number one? Why in the world can't you get this done for what you're already charging us, given the public was so generous with their own money to adopt a new fee, a new tax for street maintenance? Then you go to Amarillo. Thomas Warren reporting in the Texas Scorecard that Amarillo Council is considering issuing, yeah, that's right, without a public vote, $35 million in taxpayer-funded debt to build themselves a new city hall. Well, guess what? That was on a big bond issue just last November, and the voters voted that item down 62-38%, but they're going to put it right back on there and go forward. This is just the arrogance we're dealing with everywhere. Well, the people don't know what's good for them. Well, it's their money. What do you care? Oh, it doesn't matter. We're going to make a world-class city. I love it. You know, anybody starts throwing those kind of buzzwords around isn't a serious person anyway. And then, by the way, there was a huge piece they put up yesterday in the Lubbock Avalanche Journal about the dam at Buffalo Springs Lake. Everybody went up together and tried to get a grant to fix the dam, and they didn't get it, and were told by P. Bush's land office, too bad, we're prioritizing stuff down in for hurricane areas where it's more flood-prone. Now, it doesn't mean this would actually, if that dam failed, it would be a massive disaster of, you know, it'd be on the world news because there are communities down it anyway. There was also a big story about how the city and county have $116 million to spend on recovery from that federal stuff. And in the listed stuff that Matt Dotre had put in the story in the Lubbock paper, the mudslide, one of the bullet points you can use it for is investing in water, sewer, broadband infrastructure. Cities and counties can't spend it on tax relief and public pensions plan. Well, that's part of the water system in Lubbock County and the city. That's where you drain and treat, and it goes down. Then the stuff flows down to the why can't they? I'm asking. I read these stories, and yet they didn't ask that specific question. Why can't you use that money? It's a one-time thing for infrastructure to fix that dam. Why would you be looking at anything else? I'll tell you, because everybody's got their hand out. Some lefty in Lubbock was quoted in this story, some group, Dr. Nicholas Bergfeld of Lubbock Compact. They want a blue ribbon committee made up of, you know, the typical people from every single part of the walk of life to figure out how to hand this money out. No, and I do agree with Mayor Pope and the County Judge Parrish and others. No, sorry. That's what the commissioners were elected for, and the law, the way it's written, was for them to hand to decide how to spend the money. We don't need to go to your Marxist committees. Anyway, why in the world can't they use that money for the dam upgrade? I'm just asking commissioners and others. Seems to make all the sense in the world. It is part of the water system in every possible way. All right, now, a lot of political news. Texas Supreme Court Justice Ava Guzman has resigned, and she just resigned immediately. She announced yesterday she's leaving the bench effective Friday. This lets Abbott put one of his buddies on there, and then that person will be the incumbent in the next election, and, you know, that's the way that works. Guzman was appointed by Perry in 2009. She's been okay. She descended on a couple of things I didn't agree with, but she's been pretty good. Now, all the speculation is she's going to run for Texas Attorney General. Well, if she's going to do that, I don't quite understand why she resigns right now this early. I don't know. Everybody's saying, well, she's probably running for Attorney General ad more. Let me just tell you, the more legitimate candidates who get in that race against Paxton in the primary, the better it is for Paxton, because he's got the name recognition and he's got a solid base of support amongst conservatives in the state. So you split it up with more people, it's going to help make sure Paxton makes a runoff and maybe win the runoff. You know, who knows? Guzman might make a good attorney general. Pete Bush would not. He's incompetent. But everybody's saying she's going to run, and I guess that's true. They're all said, but nobody's said anything that I've seen that's, from a leak inside her potential campaign. And I don't know. To me, I just looked at that, and it's probably that. But I looked at, normally when we see these kind of immediate resignations, it's usually for something really sad. Family matter or health matter, and I hope that's not it. I hope it is just political positioning there. Senator Don Buckingham, after working so hard, and so many of you busting your humps to get her elected to Senate in the big country, is indeed, as I said yesterday, running for land commissioner and made the announcement official, saying she has more than $2 million in campaign cash on hand. Remember, all 31 Senate seats are up for election because of redistricting. You know, I know it's a longer term than the House, but it doesn't matter. Every time you change the lines and redistrict, they all end up on the ballot. So you're going to have a huge race everywhere for state Senate in the next cycle and most places. And I don't know, on this district that reaches into Austin and goes all the way up to Abilene. She might make a great land commissioner, don't get me wrong, but we need and she's been good conservative, we need the good conservatives in the legislature as much as anywhere. And some great news for Texas and for Tarrant County. That arrogant, worthless piece of nothing Republican, the fake Republican, County Judge Glenn Whitley in Tarrant County has announced today that he will not seek a fifth term in the election. So he's going to be out, thank goodness, and a fine conservative, Tim O'Hare, is already announced he was going to challenge him. Maybe he'll get elected. Back in a moment.
Pratt on Texas continues after this.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Native Texan, or just got here as soon as you could. Welcome to Pratt on Texas. Here's your host, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, and it's back to the border stack. I get this years of this now. I'm just so bored of having to cover it. I don't mean that I don't think it's important. I think it's extremely important. It's just insanity that we haven't fixed it. Trump had made so much progress on the border, but the left doesn't want that. Have you seen AOC out all over the media today, upset that Kamala Harris, you know, said what I guess she's been told to say by whoever the committee that's running this Biden puppet about that they should stay home and not come here? See, the mainstream left-wing part of the Democratic Party now is that AOC crowd, and they're angry that we would tell people not to come here illegally. Well, so she goes down there, of course, after that plane had to return to Washington and then, I guess, load up a different one and go. She finally gets down to Central America. Kamala Harris, if you've forgotten, she's the vice puppet in chief. And she's out claiming the U.S.-Mexico border's problems is the result of climate change in the economy. This is insane, climate change. You have droughts and wet periods and all that all throughout history. It's insanity. The president of Guatemala, Alejandro Giammattei, disagrees. It's story in the Federalist. Guatemala president blames Biden for border crisis. Kamala Harris deflects, blaming climate change. The president there of Guatemala argues the region's climate and economy aren't the prime culprits for the unprecedented rise in illegal U.S.-Mexico border crossings, but that the Biden administration's immigration policies are to blame. That's right. Boy, I'll tell you, this had to confuse Biden. Well, no, wait, excuse me. He's confused 24 hours a day. This really had to confuse Kamala Harris because they're so used to all these countries parroting the lefty lines of the Democratic Party, especially on international affairs. Despite the fact that Harris was placed in charge of diplomatic outreach on the migrant surge, she has refused to visit the border and went more than 41 days without holding a press conference on the growing crisis. Rather than converse directly with border communities and overwhelm CBP agents, Harris traveled to Guatemala Sunday as part of her first overseas trip since assuming the VP job. When discussing the crisis, the Guatemalan president recently stated that he and Harris are not on the same side of the coin. That was a quote. He also said he and the government asked the United States government to send more of a clear message to prevent more people from leaving. Guatemalan president's not been the only one to criticize Harris recently. While he blames her and the rest of the Biden administration for the border crisis, some of his own people protested against Harris's visit for more diverse reasons than immigration alone. Upon her arrival, this is in poor Guatemala. Harris's motorcade was met with Guatemalans sporting large signs with slogans such as Kamala, go home, Kamala, comma, Trump won, and Kamala, mind your own business. One sign was Guatemala's pro-life, and you don't want to get rid of her. Anyway, criticisms of Harris aren't just coming from the international community. Kansas Senator Roger Marshall, who's also a medical doctor, criticized her. He tweeted, "It's amazing that Veep Harris traveled to Guatemala this week despite the fact that she has failed to visit border communities and CBP agents and officers overwhelmed by the crisis that this administration's open border policies have created." Despite these criticisms, Harris used Monday's press conference to assert that a border visit would be a grand gesture unworthy of her time. Yes, that was her words, grand gesture, visiting the border. Charlie Spearing put this out, asked about why she won't visit the border. Kamala Harris says she will pursue, quote, significant, tangible, real results in countries like Guatemala instead of, quote, grand gestures like visiting the border. She also said she believes that if you come to our border, you'll be turned back. It remains unclear why she's comfortable just believing this assertion as opposed to verifying or debunking it with her own eyes, because that's right. Nobody, they're not being turned back, specifically not being turned back anymore. Brought you details on that yesterday where they're not even being allowed to deport criminal aliens. Now, the governor's getting, look, this is why I told you yesterday, primary battles are healthy. When Don Huffines came out and said he's going to challenge Abbott, and he's got a lot of money. Abbott's got tons of money. Huffines has a lot, and he can raise a significant amount. He's talking about shutting the border down now and just doing it under the Constitution. Look, this has gotten traction. And this is what's forced Abbott into having, that's why the primaries are always good. It forces these people to go where they, in our case, conservative. And so Abbott's announced he's going to go to the border, I think, what, Thursday or something, have a press conference, and we're going to start arresting everybody. This is something he's never done in all these years. He hasn't suggested it, but all of a sudden he's got this attack from the right and from Huffines. So all of a sudden he's saying things and doing things that he never hinted at doing before. Another reason why pressure in a primary is good. There was a big story in the Nexstar TV station's border report. I got it at valleycentral.com. Ahead of border summit, South Texas leaders addressed governor's plans to, quote, arrest everybody. Hidalgo County Judge Richard Cortez told Border Report he plans to hold a summit with area leaders today to address concerns raised by border stakeholders regarding Governor Abbott's threats last week that he wants to arrest everybody who crosses the border. Because Abbott said he'll hold a border security summit at 5 o'clock Thursday in Del Rio, which at 5 o'clock, it's an evening news photo op, basically. The judge said, "Am I concerned? Absolutely I'm concerned, because I have a governor who says he's going to arrest people for trespassing. I don't know who's going to be the one doing the arresting. Where will they put them? Test them for COVID? Feed them? Provide legal defense for them? So I have more questions than answers." And those, by the way, are legitimate questions. On Friday, Laredo border leaders met with local police, city leaders, and officials with the Border Patrol and U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Laredo Mayor Pete Sines said during a news conference that he held yesterday in Laredo, during the meeting, that he said they discussed what would happen if Title 42 bridge restrictions are lifted, and concerns that migrants may flood the border en masse at the ports of entry has got them pretty scared. The Title 42 was the stuff Trump put in place with the COVID deal. It's limited non-essential travelers from crossing from Mexico and Canada into the U.S., and it's limited migrants from crossing to seek asylum. And remember, once they get to the middle of the bridge, way before you get to the customs hut, they're in the United States and have to be dealt with according to our laws. Democrat Congressman Henry Cuellar of Texas, out of Laredo, who was at that Friday meeting, said there are significant security concerns over this. If they're allowed to walk over to the land ports and claim asylum. Yesterday, Cuellar staunchly advocated continuing the Trump-era metering system whereby Border Patrol officers are positioned midway on bridges and they allow only so many people to cross to claim asylum each day. Once they are past the middle of the bridge, they're in U.S. territory, and then that can increase the number of people who could rush in and try to come across. Cuellar said if Title 42 is rescinded, then Title 8 should be reimplemented. That's the U.S. code that regulates and restricts immigration that had been in effect prior to the COVID deal. But he warned that reinstating Title 8 would require more Border Patrol officers and Border Patrol agents in the field and at ports of entry to question migrants and process asylum paperwork. The old way is Title 8, and that's the way we've been doing it for years. It's going to take more time and more personnel. Detention costs will go into the billions of dollars, he said, and he's vice chairman of the House Appropriations Homeland Security Subcommittee. People in Washington, he said, need to listen to local communities, and they've got to understand the practicalities and what impacts those policy changes will have. Making policy change from 1,500 miles away is very different from being here. You know, Abbott is doing this. We're going to arrest everybody. We're just going to arrest them on trespassing charge. I don't even know how you do that, because private property, government's not the one to determine whether someone's trespassing or not. You'll have to get people to lodge trespassing charges. And then this is a real question for where do you put them? I mean, you start putting thousands of people. There are no jails down there to handle that. What are you going to do? It's big talk, and I'd like to see a policy fleshed out. He's getting some support from Congressman Brady, Congressman Arrington, and others talking about the state's rights to do these things. More on that in a moment. This is the Texas Hour from Pride on Texas.
Become a member of the family. Join the Pratt on Texas Listener Club free at PrattOnTexas.com. Members get a direct to Pratt email address.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
He's back and ready for more. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on the Border, it seems, of late. Congressman Kevin Brady, Texas 8, said Governor Abbott's right to step in when the administration in Washington refuses to ask to act. We got to ensure the surge in illegal border crossing does not displace, 400,000 children in the U.S. foster care system who already face insurmountable hurdles. And then there's a big piece by it's a Texas Insider report. It's just a summation of an interview with Representative Jody Arrington on the Faulkner Focus on Fox News. And the congressman who represents Lubbock and Abilene in Texas 19, Arrington, talked about states' rights. He said it's laid out, states' rights, it's laid out in the Constitution. I don't want to go into all that, but it's right. That the Article 4 says the government will provide the sovereign states a republic and protect them against invasion. He said that's not happening. And he thinks we have the right to do this as a state. That's what Huffine said in the interview I did with him launching his gubernatorial campaign. You can go hear that in the podcast page at PrattOnTexas.com. Arrington said on Texas spending billions of dollars to protect the border because the feds won't do it. He said, I think Texans and other border states are doing everything they can within the restrictions they have jurisdictionally. We're spending billions of dollars in Texas just to come along our side of the of Border Patrol agents and ICE agents, but we're deferring to the very defunct set of federal law enforcement because they've been hamstrung by the Biden administration. There's effectively lawlessness and chaos. In Texas, the only way border states can set up and fill that gap is by exercising that sovereign right and power, again, very expressly written in the Constitution. I think we're way beyond the threshold, and it's driven by the failure of the federal government, number one, empowered by the cartels on the other side. He said he's working with Senator Charles Perry of Lubbock on a joint resolution in the legislature when this interview was done. And he said, look, we're affirming this at the federal level. That is, in fact, constitutional right and power of these sovereign states. That's what we're doing, affirming it. But I have leaders in the state of Texas. My colleague, for example, Senator Charles Perry out of Lubbock, which is in my district, who has filed legislation that I believe will be taken up in August, talking about if that's when the special session is. And I believe you'll see others do accordingly and begin the debate. And in fact, I think ultimately exercise this right take matters in their hands, defend their citizens, and do the job the federal government's failed to do and come what may, because you might get an injunction, might go through the courts, probably will, may go all the way to the Supreme Court, but I think all the legitimate rights are there for those states to execute this. And he And he just talked about how Biden's disrespecting American citizens with the open borders. But, the point I'm making here is that Abbott stuff is politically motivated. No question. It doesn't make it wrong. And it's the pressure from the right in the upcoming primary that's pushed him forward. Because before, it was always it was the old mainline strategy of, well, that's not our jurisdiction, but we can do all these other things. And that's what we've been doing. And Abbott's been a good leader on that. All of a sudden, he's jumped all the way over the hurdle to, we're going to start trying to enforce the immigration, essentially, as a state. That's fine if you mean it, but don't threaten it if you don't mean it and you can't do it. Because there is a real problem. Who's going to arrest whom for what on what charge? State charges is what we can do. Where are you going to put people? How are you going to feed them? I mean, can we even afford this? I don't know. It's the job of the federal government. But, you get Huffines out there talking about doing all this and saying the exact same stuff Jody Arrington was saying on Fox News about states' rights and our responsibilities under the Constitution. All of a sudden, Abbott's on it, and he's going to hold a big conference, a 5 o'clock deal. That's a press show. On Thursday this week in the Valley, so okay, fine. The U.S., he already said we're going to pull the licenses from these state license facilities holding all these people, and the feds are now threatening legal action against the state of Texas. Well, good, bring it on. Department of Health and Human Services, I guess, leaked a letter to the Associated Press, the Associated Propagandist. And the letter tells Abbott that even though the state issues the licenses for the shelters, Congress has tasked the agency with caring for unaccompanied children, warned Abbott not to interfere with those operations and said HHS intends to pursue legal action if the state proceeds to close the shelters down. Okay, bring it on. We'll argue that one out. It's out of hand, folks. Get this story. Just came out this afternoon. One West Texas border town absorbs 70% of Haitian migrants. Dateline Del Rio in Brightport, Texas, by Randy Clark. Customs and Border Protection law enforcement source speaking on the condition of anonymity notes this small border city currently leads the nation in Haitian migrant apprehensions after they illegally entered the U.S. Since May 22nd, Border Patrol has stopped more than 1,800 after crossing the Rio Grande. Nationwide during the same time, Border Patrol apprehended roughly 2,600 Haitians. Del Rio accounts for 70% of that total. Haiti's always having it, despite the fact that our generous American people have handed out billions of dollars to Haiti. It's a culture that's broken, and they just continue to have all their typical political problems, and they're flooding into the country illegally. The Border Patrol in Del Rio sees large groups of Haitians illegally enter the city almost daily. According to the source, on Monday, a group in excess of 100 from Haiti was apprehended just south of the city. Child sex predators arrested crossing the border into Texas. Dangerous people, not just nice people coming for a better way of life. Bob Price reporting at Breitbart. Last week, Rio Grande Valley Sector Border Patrol agents encountered two criminal aliens and an MS-13 gang member attempting to enter. Remember, these are the ones they catch and identify. Courts in Texas and Florida convicted the two sex offenders for indecency with a child and molestation of a child. Rio Grande City Station Border Patrol agents patrolling near Roma on Thursday encountered a group of four migrants who just illegally crossed. During processing, turns out that the court had convicted one of them in Plano, a Guatemalan national, for indecency with a child. A few hours later, McAllen Station agents apprehended another group of migrants who just crossed. During processing, they identified one of them from Honduras as having a criminal history. And then the McAllen agents arrested a member of the dangerous MS-13 transnational criminal gang Wednesday. On the other end of the Texas border, El Paso officers arrested two men wanted for sexual assault of a child. These people came across illegally. A few days later, they got a previously deported Mexican national attempting to... Same kind of conviction. They had a big deal in... near Cisco in Eastland County. Call came in to them that a red Chrysler minivan was driving erratically on I-20. They located it, tried to execute a traffic stop, a chase ensued into Ranger. And they all joined in, and it became a foot chase after the van crashed into a small tree. Well, the driver crashed it into a small tree. Manhunt located five individuals. Police say they believe there were two who were never found. Four of the passengers in the vehicle were not U.S. citizens and were arrested for evading arrest. The driver was from New Mexico and arrested in charge of felony smuggling of persons. This puts our lives in danger every day. By the way, the Supreme Court ruled against and unanimously against these people that came here on these these amnesty situations over the years from that they said, no, the law doesn't say that they can get a green card. They just have temporary status. That's probably upset the left. But don't worry. Pelosi and them are already working on a bill that opens up permanent residency to these people. And it just continues, folks. It is completely out of control. Other headlines real quickly. A man charged in a fatal crash in Texarkana won't face a death penalty. Off-duty Texas deputy killed a knife-wielding man down in Needville. Police officers killed a man report threatening hotel guests with a gun in Round Rock. That happened yesterday. And the DPS tip came in and they got one of the Texas 10 most wanted fugitives, Tion Lashad Lagan, out of Tarrant County. And there's been a major lawsuit filed by wine grape growers in West Texas against Bayer, Monsanto, and BASF over herbicide damage, a big story in the Lubbock paper. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.